Behold, he comes.
Welcome to The Watchman. Get ready for awakening teachings on the end times, Bible prophecy, and on the times and seasons in which we live. The King is coming.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to The Watchman today as we proceed with our study of the end time. This time, not necessarily the book of Revelation, but a bit of the things that you'd expect now that you know the book of Revelation. Now, we know that the end of all things is victory for Christ and His army. We know that. But you see, because of everything that has been happening across the world right now, there are all sorts of people who are formed into different categories that I can think of. There's a category of people who have dived headlong with the whole agenda of the New World Order. They are all in it, and they are all pushing for the same things, pushing for vaccination, pushing everybody to go and be vaccinated. And they think in their minds that if they can conform enough to those standards, if they can accept enough what has been put in front of them, they believe that eventually freedom will come, then they will be left to do their things peacefully, and then life will go on normal. So just get this done. It's a small thing. It's not such a big thing. Just let this be done and let's get it done, and then life will get back to normal. Those are there, and they are so convinced to their thing. They're actually even bigger propagators now of a demonic agenda than even the people who originated the agenda. And I find that so funny. Then on the other hand, there are those who have not taken up that whole agenda. They can see through it. They understand what is going on. They know that this has nothing to do with health. They know all the, you know, discrepancies regarding all that. And they know that this is not about normal. And they even know that you do not fight the devil by conforming to what he tells you to do. That's not how you fight the devil. He never stops. If he can push you, you know, one extra inch, he will push you the second, the third, the fourth. They keep demanding until the mark of the beast. So now they don't understand this. They don't understand that this is not going to end when you accept to do this. And I'm saying regulations which come sometimes from political offices and things like that. No, there is no end like that. Okay, there is an end to it, but not like that. Not by our conformity. No, we do not conform to anything. We do not yield space to the devil. That's not how we work. That is not how we work in the church. But then there are people who see through the whole agenda. They are skeptical enough to see through everything. They know what is behind it. They know who is behind it. And by who is behind it, I mean the devil himself. And they know the demonic agenda. But they are so consumed with the agenda of the devil, and they don't necessarily see the light of God shining and actually sending the agenda of the devil crashing somewhere. And so they don't see it that way. So all they see is, yeah, these guys, you know, now, so every day, they have a new story of what now they are demanding this. Now they are demanding no movement without this. Now they are demanding no this without that. Now, you know, they are demanding no this without that. You accept to be vaccinated. That means without your consent, that means your body does not belong to you. If your body does not belong to you, what belongs to you? Because it's the first step of your ownership is your body. Now, if that does not belong to you, then, I have news for you. Nothing actually belongs to you. Absolutely nothing. And then the demands keep on coming, as I've told you before, until the mark of the beast. Now, some people go and turn it around and say, he's saying the vaccination is the mark of the beast. It is not. But the system that they are using here is the exact system that they are going to use with the mark of the beast. And they will keep on pushing it bit by bit by bit. And if you're the kind of Christian who thinks that if you conform, then there's some light there, you know, there's some respite. You can have some freedom. If we can just get this over with, it's a small thing. Just do it. Then after that, you know, they will leave us and we continue with our life. Oh, ho, ho, I have bad news for you. That's not going to happen. Not that way. But then I also have good news for you today. Very, very good news. Now, so there are those who err on the side of compliance. They comply with everything. Then there are those who err on the side of skepticism, and now they blow apart everything. But then they also don't see the plan of God in the midst of this. Now, I want us to understand what exactly the church is expected to do in a time such as this. Because that has been a very, very contentious subject, because some people are saying, you know, let's just comply. And I had a meeting with certain people who said, you know, this is a small thing they're asking us for. About go and they train you so that you get a COVID certificate. And I looked at these pastors and I said, my goodness gracious me. So now we need COVID certificates to start churches. I looked at them and I said, okay. And I attended that meeting. I never attended it again. And I never wanted to associate myself with that kind of reasoning, because that's not how I reason. That's not how the end time church is supposed to reason. The compliance is not supposed to be our way. Our way is the way of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in this end time. That's why that book is all about the end time, the book of Daniel. Now, that's not our way. So now, aside from that, there is something that God is doing, something powerful that God is doing. And now these people, even if they might seem like, you know, their end is in sight. I mean the evil people, the evil cabal of people who want to dominate all the thrones. Their end is in sight. But now let me tell you this, something that is important for all the church to listen to. Listen to this very carefully. Now, book of Colossians, chapter 1 and verse 12. I'll start from verse 12 for contextual reasons so that you understand the whole thing, the context in which I am bringing this. Now, it says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Now, I want you to note that word, inheritance. Then he says, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Then he goes on to say, now Jesus is talking about Jesus. So I'll put Jesus where he's talking about Jesus. He says, Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. Now I want you to see this. There is a Father, the Heavenly Father, who goes and creates through his Son everything that is on the world. Now all things, remember he says, all things, for by him all things were created, all things. Now he's not saying all people. Notice he does not say all people. He says all things were created by him and for him. That's very important. As we go ahead, you'll understand why. We are created by him and for him. Now imagine there is a Father who is great king. He goes and creates and puts in place all these pieces of thrones, dominions, wealth, you know, and everything that comes along with power and prosperity, and then puts them all, because he has one son, he puts them all in the hands of his son. But then his son says, I'm not going to have all this alone. I want to have so many brothers. But the brothers whom I would have are estranged from God because their forefather Adam sinned. So they cannot be partakers. They cannot be partakers of this inheritance that I have from the Father. So what the Son does, he comes and sheds his blood, and you know it, and then he rescues all of us and brings us, he conveys us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, as he has said, delivered us from the kingdom of darkness where there was nothing, and conveyed us to the kingdom of the Son of his love. So now we become co-inheritors. So now Jesus inherited everything the Father has, but not just him, all of us, as people who were redeemed by his blood, were also inheritors of everything that God has. All things, it says, all things that he has. So now he says, Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him, all things were created that are in heaven and on earth. Now I want you to notice that he divides things in different ways. First, he says those things which are in heaven and which are on earth. All of them were created by him and for him. Then he also divides the things into visible and invisible, because there are certain things which are visible and there are those which are invisible. And then he goes on to mention them. Thrones, there are thrones which are visible, there are those which are invisible. Dominions, visible, invisible. Principalities or powers, all of them can either be visible or invisible. Now he says all things were created through Jesus and for Jesus. And now Jesus brought us to the place where we are inheritors along with him. So he brought us there. Now we are co-inheritors with him, okay, of everything that the Father created. Now this is something you have to understand. Now, then he goes on to say, and he is before all things. Remember, he's saying all things, not all people. He is before all things, and in him all things consist. and is the head of the body, which is the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. Then it goes on to say, now I'm reading from verse 19, for it pleased the Father that in him, in Jesus, all the fullness should dwell, and by him, that is by Jesus, to reconcile, notice this, to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Now, Jesus comes, and when Adam sinned, man is estranged, alienated from the life of God, which he actually says in the very next verse, verse 21 of Colossians chapter 1. He says, and you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy, blameless, and above reproach in his sight. Okay? Now, when God creates everything, he puts Adam in charge of it. Now, when Adam sins, Adam is estranged from the life of God. He's cut off from the life of God. Now, all the things there go into waste, go into atrophy. In other words, the life of God ceases to be in them. All of them, they suffer the punishment of Adam, the punishment of death. So they are corroded, they are, you know, going to atrophy because of what Adam had done, being estranged from God. Now, it is not the things did not sin, but Adam's sin caused them to be estranged from God. Now, what Christ does, when he comes, I'm saying all things, and by things, all things, I mean all things, and I will explain that a bit to you. Now, when Christ comes, what he does is, the first thing to be reconciled is man. So now, because everything fell with man, so man has to be reconciled. So man is reconciled to God by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, after man is reconciled to God, now Jesus gives man, his people, his co-inheritors, the responsibility to go and reconcile now all things back to Christ and to God. Okay, because when Adam fell, all things were, the wealth went to the devil. That's why the devil comes and tells Jesus that I own all the kingdoms of this world, bow down and worship me. Jesus did not say you're lying. At that time, the devil actually owned it. But after Jesus came and rescued man, now man actually, through Jesus, owns it. Now the devil can no longer come and say all these things belong to me, except by deceit. But by that time, when he came and told Jesus that, it wasn't by a lie. It was actually the truth because Adam had given it to him. But Jesus was there to reverse everything that Adam did. Now Jesus reversed everything that Adam did. Now, when Jesus does that, he gives us the responsibility of reconciling all things back to God. And it says somewhere that he gives us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, I have reconciled you to God. Now, you are back in the estate where Adam was. Okay? You are now sons of God. Now, go and reconcile everything else that fell away to the darkness because of Adam's fall. So it is now you who is reconciled in Christ. Your responsibility to bring all things back to Christ and under God. That's what it means. I'll read again from Colossians chapter 1. So that now you understand this. So he says, Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth. Okay, all things. Now these are the things. Everything is supposed to be reconciled through man to God. Those which are in heaven and which are on earth. Then he goes on to say those which are visible and also which are invisible. All of them, even those we do not see, are supposed to be reconciled by us to Christ and then to God. Okay, by us. So when Jesus comes and gives us this, now says, now you are co-inheritors with me. But all these things had been taken by the devil. Now go and bring them back to this kingdom. Okay? Now, then he says he qualified us. I read in verse 12. He qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He qualified us. You know, God himself qualified us. Not yourself. You do not qualify yourself. You do not have that ability. You never did have that ability. So it is God himself who qualified us. Okay? Now, if you try to qualify yourself, you will never be. So just accept that God qualified you and you are qualified. Just accept that I'm qualified. Okay? Now, he goes on to say that everything that is in heaven and on earth, then he says visible and invisible. Then he says whether they be thrones or dominions. So now, thrones, they are thrones which are currently in the hands of the evil one. But God is counting on us, or let me put it this way, the Lord Jesus is counting on us as people whom he brought to be co-inheritors with him. He is counting on us to bring these thrones away from darkness to the kingdom of light. Okay? Now, there are, by thrones, I mean every throne. Thrones of presidency, thrones of whatever, you know, political thrones. I mean financial thrones. I mean business thrones. I mean media and formation thrones. Everything. All thrones. All those represent thrones. Okay? I mean education thrones. I mean entertainment thrones, which are currently estranged from God. And they are out there. And they are being used by the devil, because he has managed to deceive the church that they are, you know. But now that they belong there, but they do not. They actually belong in the kingdom of light. And now Jesus is telling us in this time that it is time for us to go and reconcile all those thrones back to him. So the devil is trying so hard to imprint his methodology, his information, and everything that he comes up with through political thrones, which he has captured, through media thrones, which he has captured. But then, not for so long, because we are here to go and capture all those thrones back to Christ. And now we have to reconcile. What we are doing, we are not just capturing. We are actually reconciling those thrones back to where they came from. And this reconciliation is actually our work. So I'll read this for you a bit here, and then I'll come back there. He says in, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. These are scriptures we all know. I'll start from verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Remember, he says all things. He does not say the person. The person becomes new. No, all things become new. Okay? Now, we are talking here of things. When you read it with a religious mindset, you think it's all people. No, he's talking about things. Now, in verse 18, he says, now all things are of God. Everything, principalities, powers, authorities, dominions, thrones are of God. Okay? So what I'm trying to say is that the throne of the presidency is of God. Now it is estranged. If it has somebody who is wicked and is not of God, it is estranged. And now I'll tell you this, even the throne itself is crying to go back to God, because it's not comfortable where it is. Okay? And the scripture actually says that. So now I'll read for you that scripture. Now, all those thrones. Now, all money belongs to God. Now, when it is in the hands of righteous people, the money itself, all things are happy. Now, when it is in the hands of wicked people, the money is groaning and saying, now, you know, Kableta, come and rescue me from this wicked man. Can you imagine they are using me to do wicked things? Yet I would be in the hands of righteous people. I'm talking about all wealth in the world belongs to God. All things. And God expects us to go and rescue those things back to him. Reconcile. Actually, rescue, yes, but reconcile them back. And this is the period we are talking. And you have to understand that what is masked as bad news, you know, as defeat, is actually not defeat. It is not at all. You're just going to say it, but I'll tell you this. He says in verse 18, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Now God says, all things fell apart when Adam sinned. So he sends his son Jesus Christ to first of all come and reconcile us as man to him. Now we are reconciled to God in Christ Jesus. There is no enmity between us and God because of Christ Jesus. There is no separation between us and God because of Christ Jesus. We and the Lord are one. We are sons. He says in, you know, in the book of Ephesians that, you know, you were far off have now been brought near, and you are members of the household of God in Christ Jesus. We are members of the household. That's what he says. We are members of the household, Ephesians chapter 3, household of God. So now, having now brought us into the household, now he says, yeah, now that you are in the household, please, there is a lot of wealth in Uganda. Please go and reconcile it back to me, because I did not create it for evil people. Although they want to take control of it, I did not create it for evil people. God did not create anything for the evil people of this world. No, he created it for his household. Okay? So God does not want wicked people to inherit the things he created, which he gave to his son, any more than if I have a big estate and let's say I passed on, I wouldn't want anybody else apart from my children to share in that estate. So even God is saying, this estate that I created, the wealth of the world, and all these dominions and kingdoms and thrones, all of them were created through Jesus and for Jesus, purposely for him. And now, since we are with him, it is our responsibility to go and reconcile those things, because they are groaning somewhere, very, very miserable. And that's what it says actually in Romans chapter 8. I'll read from verse 19. It says, for the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. Okay? The earnest expectation of creation, in other words, of everything created, that includes all lands, all properties, all minerals, all wealth, all everything. The earnest expectation of all creation awaits for the revelation of the sons of God. In other words, where the sons of God come and rescue us from wicked men. So now there are lands which are in the hands of wicked men, and the land is crying out for somebody who is a child of God to go and rescue it. And I'll tell you this, when you go and rescue it, even if it was unfertile land, it becomes fertile. Because it has been rescued from barrenness. Remember, everything started going into atrophy, into destruction. Everything got a picture of death around it when Adam sinned. Animals, plants, everything. Even the world somehow went into decay and everything became a struggle. Because of man, remember, none of those things committed any sin. But because man was responsible for them, when man fell, they all fell with him. Now, when man rises up, as we are now in Christ Jesus, then those things which fail, we will say, thank you very much. We have waited so long for you to come and rescue us. Now I'm telling you, there is some wealth somewhere that is waiting for you to come and rescue it. And it is not happy because it is being used by wicked people. And even it is not happy, I'm telling you that. So it says, for the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly awaits the revelation of the sons of God. Then it says, for the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Now, the creation became futile. The good things became futile. They were subject to futility. They were subject to decay, as I've told you, to wasting away, to atrophy, as a result of man falling. Then he says in verse 21, because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Now that's in Romans chapter 8, verse 19 to 21. So it says, because the creation itself wants you to deliver it from corruption. When it is with wicked people, it is suffering corruption. Now when it comes into the hands of a child of God, then it goes into glorious liberty of the children of God. I'm talking about creation. I'm talking about cars, which are now suffering. They are being used for wicked things. Then when you get the hold of it, it says, thank God, now finally, you know, I am into the glorious liberty of the children of God. So all creation is earnestly waiting. And I'm talking about every throne, every principality is waiting for the revelation of the sons of God to come and rescue those things from wicked men who have taken captive of them for a short time. But their time is up. And do not be scared of them. Do not fear. Do not, regardless of what they do, do not fear. There is absolutely nothing. We know the end of the matter. We know who created this world. We know the end of the matter. We know his word is spoken and it cannot be altered. There is nothing that can alter the word. Now, I am telling you, just stand up confident and say, there is a piece of land somewhere that I have to rescue from the hands of wicked people. And there is a house somewhere that I have to rescue it. It is crying out to be rescued from the hands of wicked people. Okay, now some people think that this is, you know, a materialistic thinking. Now, this is the Bible. I'm telling you, God did not create his wealth to be used by wicked people. And people then put on this religious thing that, you know, you're being materialistic, you're driving very good cars. If I didn't drive that good car, it would be driven by a witch doctor. Would you rather a witch doctor drives it than a man of God? Like, that is stupidity. There is no other way to describe it. Okay, now there is that thinking which people have where God takes the wealth of Egypt and gives it to Israel. Where Israel being materialistic, when Moses told them, go and ask for all the articles of wealth from the children of Egypt, were they being materialistic? No.
God's plan. My children have to have the best. Remember, he had said, Israel is my firstborn. Remember what Moses told Pharaoh? Let go of my people Israel, because Israel is my firstborn. So God says, all this gold and all these things, I did not make them for Egypt and the people who serve the devil. No, I made them for my children. So wealth was made for the children of God. Now, the first step you're supposed to take is stop getting angry when you see children of God rich. Like, if you get angry, there's something terribly wrong with you, because you not get angry when you see wicked people rich. So now that shows that you actually want the things which God created to go in the hands of wicked people. Now remember, God does not need gold and silver and money and dollars. No, he doesn't. There is a lot more where he is. He does not need it. He put them here on earth for his children here on earth. And even those things, know they belong to his children. That's why it says, I'll read again, Romans chapter 8, verse 19. It says, for the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly awaits for the revelation of the sons of God. For the creation is subjected to futility. I will add my words there. To bondage. Is subjected to atrophy. Is subjected to being wasted away. You know, to rotting away. But it is in hope. Verse 21. Because creation itself will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. So those beautiful places are groaning, saying, when are we going to the children of God? When are we going to be possessed by the children of God? That's when we'll have liberty. That's when they will be reconciled to God. Because remember, he created these things for himself. And they were estranged by Adam's sin and gotten into the devil's hands. Now the devil has tried to use them to, you know, do all these things, but to get people into hell and tell them you have to go and do this to get rich. Now God is saying, no, I have my people in this end time whose work it is to go and actually reconcile everything to God. Now that's what he says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 18. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself. First of all, he has reconciled us as people through Christ Jesus and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Okay? Remember, he says all things belong to God. All things are of God. He does not say all people. Please get me straight. He does not say all people. He says all things, okay, are of God, who first of all reconciled us as people, then later on told us, now that you've been reconciled to God, now that you are members of his household, now that you are children of God, now go and reconcile everything else, all that wealth. Come and reconcile it. Bring it back home. Bring that wealth back home. It has been in bondage, stolen. It's like a child who has been stolen away from home and is crying to go back home. That's how all the wealth of the world is. Now, the people who are going to get it are you. So now when you start thinking that it is materialistic to reconcile these things to the kingdom of God, then you are being stupid, because actually this wealth is here. It's either in the hands of the wicked people, it's in the hands of the righteous people. Now God wants it to be in the hands of the righteous people, because then it is used to expand his kingdom. But when it is in the hands of the wicked people, we know what it is going to be used to do. And you see that. You've seen that already. You have an experience of that as it is. So he says, I'll read that again. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ Jesus and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, the people as well, but he was also reconciling the world to himself. Imagine if you're this rich man who built an estate and, you know, and you want it to go to your son. And then suddenly some crafty person comes and deceives your son and tells him, sign here, sign here, sign here. Then the next thing you know, all your wealth has gone away from your son or your sons and has gone away to that crafty person. That's what happened in the Garden of Eden. God created wonderful things and gave them to Adam. But then the craftiness of the devil came and deceived Adam into passing on everything to the devil. Now God in Christ sent him to go and reconcile all those things. They are mine. And also them, they want to be reconciled to him. Now I want to tell you that. I'll go back now to Colossians chapter 1. And I'll read from verse 16. I've read this before and I'm going to read it again. He says, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and are on earth, visible and invisible, or whether they be thrones. Now I'll tell you this, there are some thrones that are out there waiting. They are being occupied by wicked people. And even the thrones are groaning in earnest expectation. When is a righteous man coming to sit on this throne? When is a righteous man coming to occupy me? Because I'm tired of these wicked people occupying me. That is happening right now. And now it is your responsibility not to hide behind, you know, somewhere and say, you know, I had some man of God saying,
It was interesting because this is a real sound of defeat. He said, okay, let's accept things will never get back to normal, but Jesus will come back for the church. No, that is not true. Jesus is not coming back for a church which is hiding somewhere and waiting for him to come back to rescue them from wicked people. No. That is absolutely not true. If you have that thinking, then you have it all wrong. Jesus is counting on me to go and take everyone he has appointed for him. Every one of you who is listening to this, he has appointed for you a throne which is yours, which you are supposed to go. Take it, take that throne. And by you taking it, you are reconciling it back to God because you belong to God. Now there is a throne which is for Kableta, and when I go and take it, I'm reconciling it back to God. And I come and say, now, God, this is your throne because I'm the one who is sitting on it. And because I belong to you and I serve you. So it is your throne. Now the throne is reconciled back to God. Now he says, whether they be thrones, whether they be dominions. Okay. Now they are dominions in businesses. They are in different diverse businesses. Dominions in trade, dominions in all these things. Different dominions in trading of this, trading of that. Dominions in farming, dominions in media. Dominions in education sector and so on. Now, when you see schools are all going haywire because of all these COVID things and all that, rather than sitting back and saying, oh man, schools, and also you start mourning, what if God is actually calling you to take, this is your moment, you're supposed to stand up and shine. Because remember, every adversary is just there in this kingdom we are in. Every adversary is just there to pave the way for some great person whom God has been preparing beforehand. God uses adversaries to make way for people whom he has been preparing beforehand. For instance, the way Goliath was just a stepping stone for David, who God had already prepared to be king, and David was there doing his things, but, having been anointed, and God was preparing. But now when the time came, he says, how do I get this young boy and put him somewhere on a pedestal where now suddenly everybody sees him as a king? What should I do? So he gets some Goliath, okay? And now Goliath comes as if he's big, but he's actually just there as a stepping stone for David to come from being a herds boy to being a commander of Saul's army and eventually king. So now every adversary, every calamity, every catastrophe, apparent catastrophe, is there for the purpose of somebody who has been prepared by God to come and take over. So it comes and there is this confusion, and now we don't know what to do. And then somebody who God has been telling, I want you to start a very powerful school. But then there are so many schools. Then suddenly you wake up and all the schools have vanished because, COVID, they had dates and what. Then now this is your time. Now this, you're the David of schools. Come up. Now Goliath has been destroyed. Now come up right now and come and take control of the education sector. And then you rescue education from the hands of the evil one and bring it, reconcile it back to God. And then God says, education in Uganda is reconciled. Now we are together. We understand each other, education in Uganda and me, because it has been reconciled rather than being in the hands of evil people. I'm giving an example. And so many other things, trade and what and all these things, okay? And you see, the devil has tried so much to imprint his ideas on the church that the church is running away, fleeing from their responsibility and from their work of reconciliation, rather than standing up and going and saying, no, these things were never created for the evil one. They were created for the children of God. And when we are in control of those things, then God is in control of those things because we are his people. Anyhow, so he says, thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. Actually, principalities or powers, in my cross reference here in the Bible, it says, can also be or rulers or authorities. So thrones, dominions, rulers or authorities. All these were created by Jesus and for Jesus. So every throne, every authority, every rulership is supposed to be reconciled to Jesus because it was created for him, for his pleasure. Okay, and then Jesus said, I have my people whom I want to rule with, who are my church. So they are the ones whom I want to be in control of these things. So he distributes everything among us, says, you, I want you to be in control of this. You, I want you to be in control of this. You, I want, and everybody who is listening to me today, whether it be this week or the week after, anytime you're listening to me, if you're a child of God, there's something that the Lord Jesus Christ has said. Now you, here is where is going to be your rulership. I'm going to make you a ruler in this area. Okay, or give you authority in this area. Now,
all authority has to be reconciled to God. Everything has to be reconciled to God. Now I'm going to read for you one other scripture which I find interesting, actually absolutely interesting. It's in Acts of the Apostles chapter 3, something which Peter said. And until recently, I was wondering, what did he mean by that? And I used to look and say, what did Peter mean by that? What did the Spirit of God speaking through Peter mean by that? And this was given during a discourse when the apostles, Peter was the one speaking, but when John and Peter had healed the man at Solomon's porch. Remember the lame man whom they found and they healed. Now when people gathered together and were marveling at how this miracle had happened, then Peter gave a long discourse, which I'm just going to read from verse 19. He says, "Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of God." Now, if you are listening and you're born again, you've gone through that already. You partake of the inheritance. And then he says, "That he, God, may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before." He's talking about Jesus Christ, to send him the second time. But then in verse 21 he says, "But that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began." So now what he's saying here is that Jesus is going to be held up in heaven until the restoration of all things. Interesting. Now I used to wonder, what does he mean by all things? Restoration of all things. Actually, the King James Version says restitution of all things. Now the word restitution means something was taken away from the rightful owner and then it's given back to the rightful owner. That is restitution. So if somebody comes and takes what is rightfully yours and it's given back to you, that's called restitution. So now he says Jesus Christ will be held up in heaven until the restitution, using now King James language, until the restitution of all things, then Jesus Christ will come back. So he is not coming back to things which are estranged, to nations which are estranged, to wealth which is estranged, which is, you know, separated from him, yet it was created by him and for him. He is not coming back to a defeated church. That is not going to happen. Now, I'm telling you, the reason it might appear as if nothing, you know, governments are reigning control over the church and they seem to have all manner of control over it, nothing is happening and so on. Do not worry. I mean, out of some of, let me tell you, some of the greatest victories ever actually have come out of apparent defeat. And it's always just a setup by the Lord. All the great, great, great victories have come out of apparent defeat. I'll give you an example. 1 minute, the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ are hiding in a room somewhere, scared of the Jews. Now, that's how a lot of the church is today. By the way, and some of these parallels have to happen, okay? Because the Jews were in charge of government. Government was in charge of religion, you know, eh? So the Romans had given the Pharisees and, you know, their whole Sanhedrin some kind of political power to rule these people according to the religious laws of the time. So these people had political power. That's why they could even arrest people. That's why Paul was arresting people. He wasn't arresting people like, "We disagree with you in terms of faith." No, no, no. Pharisees had some kind of political power. Now, we see a bit of that right now where the church is hiding away, you know, in politics. You know, they told us to do this. They told us we cannot congregate unless we vaccinate. They told us we cannot do this. We cannot. Even the preacher has to be in a mask. Even the choir has to be in the mask. I mean, imagine such rubbish. Imagine such utter contemptible rubbish. And people are in hiding. But remember, Peter, John, James, and them all were also in hiding from the Jews until the time came. And then suddenly, these men who were hiding are standing up on a huge pulpit and are speaking to people boldly and are telling them, "No, this is Jesus Christ whom you denied." Okay? Even the apostle Peter, who denied Jesus, told the Jews, "You people denied Jesus." Okay? He has already forgiven himself. Thank God. And he stands, and then they ask him, "What shall we do?" These are the people whom you were scared of a short while ago. Now they are asking you, "What shall we do?" So what shall we do? They are trembling, asking, "What shall you do?" They said, "Now this is what you'll do. Repent, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ." And on that day, 3,000. Imagine the transformation from being scared, timid, hiding away, to suddenly being in control and everybody is running to you asking, tell us, what shall we do? Now, all these parallels have got to happen. Now, if you think that the church is going to end in a whimper, you are so mistaken. The beginning of the church was glorious. Imagine those days. Now, from that Pentecost, it did not take very long before the Jerusalem were lining up. These people who they were scared of, the very Jews whom they were scared of, were now lining up their sick people on the streets that the shadow of Peter might touch them somehow and they get healed. Imagine, like a few days ago, perhaps just days ago, this you were scared of them. Now the street is full of people on stretchers, sick people, and they are saying, just your shadow. Now, that's how God does the turnaround. Just believe, you people, we are living in glorious times. These are glorious times. You are going to see glorious things happening. And you'll see the turnaround, and now it will be glorious. Now when that happens, suddenly everything happens. Then it says somewhere in Acts, then the fear of the whole world was scared of the believers. It says that in Acts chapter 5. Everybody was scared of the believers, but then their number continued to grow. Now, imagine how they turn around. 1 minute, the believers were scared of the people. The next minute, the people are scared of the believers. Wow. God can turn things around in a very, very short time. Then eventually, when you go to Acts now in the latter chapters 16 and so on, you see people coming and say, these men who have turned the whole world upside down. Can imagine something which started with some scared people in an upper room. Now they are saying these men have turned the whole world upside down. And then it says, so mightily grew the word of God that it prevailed. Okay? Now, the word, there is an attempt by people to make the word of demonic entities prevail, who use media houses, which they own and which they control, who use celebrities whom they own and control, and so on. They want their word to prevail. No. Their word is not going to prevail. A moment is when all those people, and I'm telling you, in a time so short, all those people will be coming and asking, like they did that time, what shall we do? What shall we do? And they will be asking the people who were once scared of them. Because now I see so many people in church who are scared. No, we can't do this. If you do this, this is going to happen. No. They are going to raid us. This is going to happen. No. And just give it a short time. I know. Now remember, as glorious as the church was in its starting, the end of it has to be greater. Now just go and read the book of Acts of the Apostles. And then multiply that by, at least 2. Then you see how great the end. Because actually, Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 8, says that the end of a matter is greater than the beginning of it. So now, even the church, the end of the church has got to be greater than the beginning of the church. I mean, going by that scripture. So do not think that the church started in such glory and then suddenly it's going to go in a whimper when people are scared, when people are running away from Bill Gates and his evocator. Those people are going to be crushed. And I'm telling you, it's not going to end like that. It cannot end like that. There is no way it ends like that. Because the word of God has to come to pass. It says, Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 8. The end of a thing is better than its beginning. Praise the Lord. The end of the church is going to be better than the beginning of the church. It is going to be better. It might not appear like that to you, but it is going to be, okay? If somebody had come and told the disciples when they were in the upper room scared that, you are going to be so glorious, you're going to turn the whole world upside down, at that moment they would say, do you know what you're talking about? Is that even possible? But when the time came, everything happened, one thing after the other. The next thing we know, people are running to the church asking them, what shall we do? Asking Peter, what shall we do? Then says the fear of the church fell on everybody. So these things happen so fast. Do not be scared. The end of a thing is better than its beginning. The patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Okay. And then he goes on to say in verse 10, do not say, listen to this, verse 10, Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Do not say, why were the former days better than these? For you do not inquire wisely concerning this. Because the former days of the apostles are not better than these. These days are better. We are going to see greater, better things in this time, in this period we are in, than they were in the Acts of the Apostles. Okay? That's why he says in Ecclesiastes, first of all, verse 8, the end of the thing is better than its beginning. Then he says in verse 10, do not say, why were the former days better than these? No, they were not, and they are not going to be. We are going to be better. Because it says then, he goes still in verse 10, for you do not inquire wisely concerning this. Okay? So anybody who looks back and say, oh, the better days, can you imagine in 2019, would even gather and pray, would even do that. Oh man, the former days are not better. The best days are ahead of us. Our best days as a church, as the children of God, are ahead of us. We are going to take people to flight. We are going to reconcile thrones to God. We are going to reconcile wealth, dominions, rulership, and everything. We are going to reconcile them to God. Because God did not create them for wicked people. He created them for Jesus Christ, his son. And then Jesus Christ chose to share his inheritance with us. So we are inheritors with him. So we are going to take over these things. And there is nothing the kingdom of darkness can do about it. Because these things were not created for darkness. They were created for light. They are created for us. So now praise the Lord and be happy. The end of this matter is going to be better than the beginning of it. So if you think the best days of the church were 2019 before COVID, no, the best days of the church are ahead of us. I'm looking forward to them. And now when you take on this reasoning, it's because you've been listening too much to the voice of defeat. I mean, the voice, the devil projecting himself through newscasting and all that and so on. And you see, now, there was a time I actually used to, you know, listen to a bit of news to know what they are doing. Of course, I knew it was all lies. But now even it's not even worth listening to, because it's just actually pure, unadulterated lies from beginning to end. Now, why should I listen to the broadcast of hell, otherwise called CNN, BBC, MSNBC and all that, when I can listen to the broadcast of heaven, okay, called the Watchman Show and others? So there is a choice you have now. When you listen to this, you know that good things are ahead of us. There is absolutely nothing to fear. So the end of the matter is going to be better than the beginning of it. The end of the church is going to be better than the beginning of it. And the former days were not better. No, they were not. The best days are ahead of us. And I want you to confess that. Now, I want us to know that Jesus Christ is going to be held up, according to the Apostle Peter in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 3, verse 21, until the restoration of all things. Now, it is up to us to restore all things back to God, back to Christ, and then to God. So that Christ comes for a church which is on top, completely on top. And then one of the things that also has to be rescued is knowledge. Because you see, the enemy has projected his fake knowledge on the church. And you find so many people in the church repeating some of the things, slogans from, you know, and even pulpits. And this really bothers me. Because people repeating slogans of worldly people, quoting them on the pulpits and so on. One of the things that have to be restored is the knowledge of God. Before even we talk about everything, okay? The knowledge of God. Because people seem to espouse the knowledge of the world, which is actually really the knowledge of the devil. And they seem to want to put it ahead of the knowledge of God. Now, that also has, also the institution of knowledge also has to be reconciled back to God. Because it has gone. Now people think the wisdom belongs in the world, you know, so you have to make yourself worldly and state all these qualifications that you have. And then you forget that it says actually he confounds the wisdom of the wise. Okay? And then he says, where is your wisdom, O wise man? Because what happens is that those people who thought they had wisdom, you wait and see when we are reconciling everything back to our God through us. And then you have your stupidity, otherwise called wisdom, but you're broke, absolutely broke. And then I have the kind of wisdom which you once despised, but I'm the one who has all the answers. I have everything. So guess whom they will be running to? I can't run to you. You have nothing. You run to me, because now I'm reconciling everything. So now you have to listen to my wisdom, not the wisdom of the world. That's why he says here in Isaiah, you know, the mountain of the Lord's house. Okay? It shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established at the top of all the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all the nations shall flow to it. Now, for the nations to flow to it, they have to acknowledge it is better. They cannot flow to something which they are superior to. They have to flow to something which they are now acknowledge is superior to them. And then it says in verse 3, many people shall come and say, come and let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his path. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Now, it says there, people have to come to you to ask for, I mean, God does something. And I've endeavored to show you here that it is never, it's like just this is as far as God is concerned. Now, I want you to see that when you feed yourself with all this defeat, you think that you're far away from God's ultimate plan of victory. Yet you are very close, very close. Imagine how close Peter was just before the day of Pentecost. How close he was from 1 minute being timid and the other minute addressing a crowd of, I don't know how many thousand people. Okay, if 3,000 people came to the Lord, the crowd must have been bigger than that. So imagine the difference and how long it took. No, it only took the timing of God. When God says this is the time, then it happens. Imagine how close Joseph was from being top of Egypt. Yet he's in prison. He's in prison, wakes up one day, and it's no more routine. Go and do this. Imagine the absolutely no more prison routine. Wake up, maybe get counted, do this. Imagine if it was a prison for this today. Then, you know, go and do some labor. And yet he is a few minutes away from taking the big throne of Egypt. So, and God creates a mirror. I mean, God creates a situation, a scenario, which just makes it so easy. It's just a dream. Can you imagine just a dream? Now, how easy is that for God? I want you to see that. Because some people have been so filled with all this rhetoric from the New World Order that they've forgotten how powerful our God is. Okay? Now all things have to be restored to him. And now we have to reconcile every throne, every dominion, every wealth. We have to reconcile it to God because it was made by him and for him. Now, I want to ask all of you, because we are sending these messages across the country and awakening the church. So I want to ask everybody who is listening, as you are led, to sow a seed into this Watchman ministry for those purposes and others. Now, I want you to sow a seed. Whatever seed you are capable of sowing, whatever time you listen to it, there are different ways through which you can sow that seed. One of the ways, the easiest ones, if you are in Uganda, it's through mobile money. And the numbers, I'm sure, are given in the intro, but then also I'll give them to you here as get. If you want to send on MTN, the number is 0780-292-555. 0780-292-555. Or if you are on Airtel and you prefer to send that way, the number is 0755-292-555. I'll say it again, 0755-292-555. Use those numbers, sow your seed, and let's carry this message of victory as far as we can, because we are on radio almost all over the country right now. We carry this message of victory as far as possible. Now, or you can go, if you're out of the country, there are different ways you can do it. You can go to our website, www.ugwatchman.com, www.ugwatchman.com. If you want to sow a seed, follow the prompts there. You'll follow them and they'll tell you exactly how you can do that. Or if you want to listen to other messages that have been recorded by myself in the Watchman, you can get all of them there. Every single one of them without exception is on that website, and you can expand your knowledge about the times in which we are living. Remember, we are living in victorious times. We are not defeated. We shall not be defeated. And we are the church that sees, we are the generation that sees the return of the Lord. God bless you all. Have yourselves a wonderful evening. Kings and Lord of Lords, He is coming back again. See the clouds make way, behold the saints ascending high. Now that glorious day is here. Make us straight with for the King of Kings.
That was The Watchman. Tune in next week. Join us at our Friday fellowship, 5:30 p.m. at Plot 9, Kulubia Road, Bugolobi. To connect to the anointing upon The Watchman, you can give through the ministry mobile money lines, that is +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. Follow us on our Facebook page, The Watchman, on Twitter at UG Watchman, Instagram at @_UG Watchman, and on YouTube, Ugandan Watchman, or send us an email to info@UGWatchman.com. For more information on previous messages, on how to give, resources and more, visit our website at UGWatchman.com. The Watchman, the King is coming.